is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Dell now. And Dell, I've got some questions for you. ESPN released their preseason college football rankings.
Okay.
And let me tell you, you've got to tell me they will finish higher or lower than their ranking.
All right.
Alabama number one.
Lower.
They will not win the national championship.
They won't. No.
They will not win it.
No.
Oklahoma two.
Whew. Lower.
They won't finish second in the nation.
I don't think they're playing in a national title game and they're not winning it, so no. I think they could be in the playoff, but I don't think they're winning the national title or getting to the game.
You don't think they'll get to the game? No. I think they got a chance to get to the game.
I do. That's why I said I think they're in the playoff, which means they have a shot. I just don't think they do it.
I think they got a chance at the national championship, even though I bet John Clay Wolf that they wouldn't win two. But well, Spencer Rattler's pretty good.
I believe not making the playoff is a failure for them this year. I just don't think they get to the title game.
So you got Clemson number three. Ukulele's coming back.
It's DJ Uyanga Lele, not ukulele.
Looks like ukulele to me.
I know. Lower.
So you like them to win it all?
I said lower.
Oh, lower.
Yes.
Georgia, four.
Higher.
Is that your national champion?
Hey, let's tease it out a little bit. You got other teams to mention.
Ohio State.
Higher.
Five. You like them higher. Texas A&M, six.
Lower.
Ooh, you don't like them finishing in the top six this year. I don't either because of the quarterback. Somebody said that the best quarterback competition in the country is at Texas A&M.
It means quite a bit.
Well, everybody else is just pretty, set.
Yeah, Ohio State, they're going to go JT.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, Oregon still has some things to figure out. But as far as what it could mean for the program and the team, sure. That one at A&M is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce Young is set.
Yeah.
Ukulele set.
It's not his name, but sure.
It's kind of.
They got a walk-on behind him. So it is set because the two other guys are like baseball prospects, and I think they're going to go play for their minor league teams.
Yeah. Did you – Ohio State, you said?
Higher.
Higher. It's going to be C.J. Stroud?
Is it C.J. or J.T.
It's
Stroud?
It's C.J.
Okay, C.J. I gave you the wrong initials.
Yeah, C.J. Seven, Iowa State.
Lower.
Yeah. Eight, Oregon.
I don't believe in them. Lower. I don't know how much lower, but I don't think they're going to be great. I don't trust Anthony Brown at quarterback, honestly. And I don't like their wide receiver core either.
Nine, Notre Dame.
I think they'll finish. They got Cincinnati on the schedule. That's a home game. I got Notre Dame finishing higher.
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 It's what they do, right?
Yeah, they got Jack Cohn playing quarterback, but he's probably just as or more talented than Ian Book. Maybe doesn't have that moxie thing that Ian Book had. But
he transferred from Wisconsin?
Yeah, I don't think it's a giant drop-off of talent, if it's even a drop-off.
10, North Carolina.
Frauds. They lost four games last year.
Oh, wow.
They're frauds. They're going to score a lot of points, probably, but they lost a lot of weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Just assuming a team who lost four games last year, who lost that much talent, is going to take a step up, it's weird to me. I know they're the hype team, but they did lose four games last year. And they lost the two running backs. They lost a wide receiver.
Yep.
I know Sam Howell is back, but are we...
Those two running backs were everything.
Are we supposed to believe that North Carolina's infrastructure and talent level so high they could lose those type of talents and just be fine?
Mac's done a nice job recruiting, huh?
Understood, but it's only been two and two, like three cycles, two full cycles. I wouldn't just assume that they can replace those pro players that easily. They're not Bama. We're talking about them like...
But again, you can go in the transfer portal. And,
yeah, but they replaced the running back. They didn't get a big-time wide receiver in the transfer portal, not a guy who's like the guys like Deami Brown. I just think it's a little too easy to say a team like North Carolina, who doesn't have this 5-6 year thing of just bringing guys in, to think, yeah, we just lost these pro players, we'll just find guys who are better or the same. I think they'll be a top 15 team, but not, what are they, 10 in that list?
They're 10.
I think they'll be lower.
Cincinnati, 11.
Ooh, if they can beat Notre Dame, I think they'll...
I like them higher.
I think they got Notre Dame and Indiana, so they have a shot if they win those games to be considered a playoff team.
And they got Ritter back?
They do lose Marcus Freeman to DC. He's now the Notre Dame DC, so they'll see him this year. I think I like Cincinnati higher.
I do too.
I think they could win 11 games.
Florida is 12.
I've picked a lot of lower, and I would like to do it with Florida because I'm not sure about Emory Jones. What's their schedule? I don't know. The LSU, obviously, they'll play. They play Georgia. I think I'm going to go lower for Florida. Not much, but I don't think they finish where they're situated right now.
USC, 13.
I'm feeling USC because their schedule's relatively easy. There's not a lot on it.
They got Keaton Slovis.
And they don't see Oregon this year. They may not see Washington this year, which would help quite a bit not to see the top two teams in the North. I think that's the case. Yeah, no Oregon or Washington. So I like USC to finish higher.
Yeah, and they could even finish top five.
Yeah, and they do obviously have the game at Notre Dame, which was winnable certainly. And then they have BYU at home, which isn't going to be the same type of BYU team we saw last year. USC is a team who based on their schedule, could get to 10, 11 wins if Clay Helton doesn't fall on his face, which is always possible.
LSU, 14. I'm going lower.
They have so much talent. Quarterback is
a huge concern.
Certainly a question. It's either, who was it? Who got hurt?
Miles Brennan
got hurt, so it's either Max Johnson or a true freshman who's really talented but a true freshman. I think their season, we'll know about them if they can. UCLA is not a great team, but they played pretty well in the shortened Pac-12 season. If they lose to UCLA, the doors will fall off. The wheels will fall off, excuse me. They can't lose. Ogeron's, maybe his tenure there might depend on how that team plays in that game, and if they lose, how they bounce back. They go out to the West Coast and lose to a UCLA team they don't think they should lose to. You might want to start checking the message boards and the boosters and what they're saying.
It won't be long.
Yeah.
Miami's 15.
Homer pick for me, but I don't think they'll finish top 10. I don't think they'll finish top 5 or 8 or so. The Alabama game is the one that will make people think really poorly of them, particularly if they get blown out. But the only other game that, say, should lose or could lose is the UNC game. I think Miami is probably situated pretty correctly. That's a team that should probably win at a minimum 9. I'm going to say slightly higher, maybe in that 11 to 15 range.
Wisconsin?
I think they'll finish higher than 16.
Indiana?
Lower.
Penix?
If he can ever stay healthy.
Right. Iowa, all these Big Ten teams right in a row.
Yeah, where's Penn State? I think are they ranked top 25? I think they'll finish higher.
Then it's Washington and Penn State's 20.
I think Penn State will finish
Texas,
higher than
20. 21.
Ooh, that one.
Everybody's going to be gunning for them this year.
Am I supposed to trust that Sark is a good head coach because he's a good OC? Is that what I'm supposed to believe? He was average at Washington and average at USC before his issues.
What's his schedule?
Louisiana, which was really good last year.
Louisiana's 23rd, by the way.
Yeah, that's a very losable game.
Like, at Louisiana, right?
No, they wouldn't schedule a game at Louisiana, would they? I mean, they'll go to Washington, D.C. and lose to Maryland, but I don't think they're scheduling a game in Lafayette. That would be bad scheduling on their part. That's a home game. What's the number? What's the ranking?
21.
That would mean if I say lower, they're not going to finish in the top 25 practically. Losses. Do they go? They go to TCU, or is that a home game for them? Because they get their ass kicked.
Does
no
it matter?
No, not usually.
Does that matter at all?
No, but particularly if it's on the road, which I think it is, I think that Texas has
Louisiana at home, at Arkansas,
which will be tougher.
Rice, Tech at TCU, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State at home, at Baylor, at Iowa State, Kansas, at West Virginia, Kansas State.
That's a four-loss team, which probably – but with Texas, if you're lose four games, are you still in the top 25? Probably, right, at Texas, just because of that name.
They better win that Louisiana game to start things.
I don't know what Texas people feel, but that's more dangerous than you would imagine.
Yes.
And you'd think they'd be up for it, considering what Louisiana did to Iowa State last year. They beat Iowa State, who was the second best team in the conference.
Oh, they're not going to take them lightly.
No, but that doesn't mean they'll win.
That doesn't mean they'll win. No.
New quarterback, new offense in its first game against a competent opponent who have the same guys coaching them that they've had for a couple years now. That's a tough way to start your tenure.
Yep. 10:14 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We get back to some Deshaun talk on the other side right here. Rest in peace, ankle and calf.
They're not dead. They're just
you
hurt.
Don't know that they're not dead. You don't know if he's on a scooter or not.
We'll see if he's got crutches.
He's got a handicap thing hanging from his I don't know.
They don't put that in your car. Do they? If you have a scooter, they'll do that for you?
Oh, yeah, they will. Oh, yeah. Deshaun probably, with how painful it is and where he's at with this, probably he might have that.
You think he'd have trouble sitting down considering what he likes.
That's going to take a break.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
I can't even imagine what it's like for Deshaun right now. To go from where he was last year, leading the league in passing, it was a four-win team. You got rid of Bill O'Brien, which was a positive. It was a positive for Deshaun. Tim did a nice job as offensive coordinator. You're going to be coming back. You're going to, despite the losses and despite the lack of talent, you're still on top of the world. Then the I want to be traded deal because because they have no common sense, because the owner you don't trust. I can't blame you. But then to have this and to be sitting here now in the unenviable position of you don't want to play for the team, and by all accounts the team wanted you. I don't know that the team wants you anymore. That was Jay Glazer asserted yesterday on the pregame show, that the team is still hoping that they can convince him to stay. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that that's true at all. Even Pro Football Talk, he said this. And so the Texans are stuck. They have Watson. He wants out. They apparently want him out. They owe him $10 million this year and $35 million in 2022. If he's indicted, he likely will land on paid leave. That you're sitting there right now during training camp while everybody else is playing. You're in the midst of possible criminal charges. You're in the midst of a stalemate with your football team that doesn't even want you to practice, and the civil stuff that's going on as well. I can't even imagine what it's like where Deshaun Watson was and where his head is now, and quite frankly, one of the most desirable quarterbacks in the NFL, how limited is it, the number of teams that want him now? Do you want this guy and the explanation to your fan base and the we got to root? This is the face of our franchise, a guy who's got all these civil suits, even if there are no criminal charges, all of this flying around him?
It's a very casual thing for someone who doesn't have to make the decision to say, or even people talking about a potential trade. He's a weapon. If the hurdles that he has to face, they never want to get into the hurdles. But if the hurdles he has to face are cleared up, he can help the team clearly and can change your franchise. But then you gotta deal, if you're a person making this in, deal with the calls, deal with the tweets, deal with the emails, deal with the news coverage of bringing someone who has this background in. And I told you a couple days ago, I think now, people on Twitter, Eagle fans, when the alleged talks heating up was reported, it wasn't this dramatic, yeah, get him, get him. It was like, please no, not him. That's not what I want on my team.
Right.
I think we underestimate sometimes, even though it's Twitter, so you never can really tell how many people are going to have an issue with this. Just not everyone's just going to be, he's a quarterback. We need him. Let's go. A lot of people, I don't want that guy as my quarterback.
Right.
And if
I don't want to root for that guy.
Yeah, and if there, it becomes an indictment type situation where there's an actual legal proceeding where you're making a trade, but your quarterback has to make an appearance in court, or there's stories about him, how he doesn't have to be in court that day while he's still supposed to be a quarterback of your team, no one wants that around. A lot of people just want to watch football and not have to deal with real life. Deshaun brings a real life element if he's dealing with court issues.
Right. Oh, no. Absolutely. There is that element. And, you know, again, Jeffrey Lurie, a known feminist, is, you know, that's the guy that's going to, and that's the most obvious scenario is the Eagles with their draft picks, and, with their quarterback situation. Uh-huh. And he you're eliminated from that because, you know, the owner just can't have that on his team.
Have they, I assume if they had asked, we'd have heard about it. If they have any access to him at some point as football season is approaching, maybe you can't talk about another team's player. I guess that's called tampering. But you would ask him, do you have a certain line that you won't cross as far as guys with off-the-field issues?
Yeah.
And if a guy has an issue or multiple issues with women, is that a non-starter for you? And we'll see if he would answer it.
No, that he can answer it like that.
Yeah.
Without, you know, obviously without tampering.
We're talking about Deshaun, but not talking about him.
Well, and if he does want Deshaun, he probably just avoids it. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm not answering hypotheticals then.
That is probably what will be
That's
said.
That's probably what is going to be said. Yeah, now, on top of all of this, the police are looking for, or at least the report is that they're looking into the woman who was on the podcast that was talking about Deshaun and his proclivity to sexual massage therapy. Nia Reese Lewis Smith, who has a lot of names right now. Nia Reese Lewis Smith was on with Tasha Kay. We've told you about it. But apparently the police, according to Amy Dash, at Amy Dash TV, Deshaun Watson update, Houston PD has reportedly been inquiring about how it can reach and interview this woman who did an alleged tell-all on YouTube, but has not filed a civil suit, according to sources. Plus, I'm told there are zero settlement talks happening. That's nothing new. But that the police can't find this woman with all these names. There can't be that many people named Nia Reese Lewis Smith in the world. That's a lot of names for one person.
Yeah, I know your name listed in the phone book isn't a real thing, but can't they just check her driver's license? Don't they have access to that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they don't have to be on the lookout for her.
No, if they want,
unless she's on the lam.
Yeah, maybe she's run enough.
Maybe she's gone into, because she has death threats from really, really, really stupid people.
Yeah, when you're talking about her many names, I was thinking that her real name is the least of her concerns as far as names they're using for. At least for some people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think she's being called out of her name quite a bit, unfortunately.
Yeah, and which is so unbelievable.
You care so much
about this.
You've hit it multiple times. Deshaun doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
Even if you think all these women are lying, and if that's your stance, so be it. But why are you so passionate about someone who, by the way, doesn't even want to be in your city anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to threaten death to this woman who had no reason to lie.
No.
She's not in any of the lawsuits.
Let's say she is just piling on and she's just being a terrible person. Okay, not great for her, but why are you interacting with her? What do you care?
Yeah. Well, you're saving Deshaun's character.
Who will appreciate it so much, she'll be on the first flight out.
Yep.
The Texans, he's out of here. Him.
Yeah. By the way, you can kiss it on the way out. Yeah. That's what Deshaun's telling you.
I appreciate the support.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Texans. Bye.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And see, you're a big Deshaun fan. Well, you're going to be a Deshaun fan for whatever other team. And you know, listen, look, and oh, by the way, Deshaun has, you know, well, that veto power.
Yeah, he is still using that allegedly. There was a report how Deshaun is still exerting his power over these discussions by, like, Aaron Wilson tweeted out, no trade imminent or developing at this time for Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, according to league sources. While there's interest and teams are conducting extensive due diligence, complex legal situation, no trade clause are all difficult factors to work through still. So despite, you know, all of this hanging over his head, he still has a list.
Yeah, well, whatever, Deshaun. You know what? We're going to get what we can get for you. You've destroyed our ability to trade you for what any value right now. So odds are best Deshaun is a Houston Texan week one, and he is on paid leave.
Do you think he winds up on a team in a city where he doesn't want to belong or wants to be just because he wants it over with? Do you think he would acquiesce yes. at some point?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
If the Texans come to him, look.
Yeah, but then listen, what situation isn't better than the Texans right now?
Certainly, that you make a point. But we know he's Miami and other places. We've heard about Denver and other places. But if the Texans are like, look, in this example I'm using hypothetically, hey, Tua's playing well. Dolphins don't really want to trade for you anymore. Yeah. You find a place where you can go play because the places you want are drying up. And you think he finally acquiesces?
Isn't Denver run by a woman now? Did he leave it to his daughter?
Oh, Pat Bowlen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And if that is the case, do you think they would want that she would want Deshaun as the face of her franchise?
I don't know. There's, is she a win-win-win F everything else type? I don't know.
You think she's saying F everything else, win-win-win-win?
Everything else, win-win-win-win.
Although not that Denver should be desperate for titles. It's not like they've won one in the last, 5 years or so, or 6 years, and they've had two previous. So it isn't as if this is a team or a franchise that's so desperate they'll do anything possible. But I don't know who runs that organization, how she feels, or how they feel.
Trial of Pat Bowlen's daughters versus Broncos Trust. I guess it's still up in the air. Colorado judge dismissed the lawsuit to contest the succession plan of Pat Bowlen, but I think it's going to his daughters. That certainly throws a monkey wrench into it. As a female owner, would you want Deshaun?
It's a hard sell.
She's sitting up there with Deshaun, and do you think Deshaun says, "Hey,
well,
have you ever thought about?"
He's not going to ask the owner about look, you know I have.
I know you're not a therapist.
You know I have a proclivity for asking women who don't do this to do this to me.
Do this.
Would you like to be the next? No, he's not going to do that.
You don't know.
I don't think the reason he gets traded.
You don't know.
I know that's what you lean on because I don't know, but I don't think him getting traded has anything to do with him propositioning Hannah McNair about this. Look, I know you don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But would you like to? I don't think that happened or will happen in the future for him with the owner of the Broncos. Look, he has shown a willful lack of, you know, self-awareness and bad decision-making. I don't think he's that bad.
It'd be
bad
a funny joke, though, if at the podium, at the press conference.
Hey, look.
If you got any experience?
Look, I know I took a PJ here, but I'm a little stiff.
All right. We'll finish up. We got Astros talk on the other side. Gotta somehow, some way beat these Minnesota Twins, you know, with, you know, all these great players they got. And then News of the Weird coming your way after that. So don't you go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real.
Let's go.
Fun. Sports.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here at 10:33 ESPN 97.5, our final segment before News of the Weird, that is, here this week. I'll be here Monday and Tuesday. I believe you and I will do a show Monday or Tuesday. Jerome's going to come in one day or something.
I don't know about that, but yeah, it'll be myself along with you and Trey. Trey will be here all
week. Trey's going to be here?
He'll be here all week.
Oh, that's going to be great. I love Trey.
And the days you're out, Lance will be in with me, and then Trey will be in all week
long. All week long. We get Trey?
Correct.
That is awesome.
Hey, guys.
Hey, this is so great to be here.
Okay. Hi, Del.
Hi, Del.
I love Trey. I don't love Dusty's. Is it how much of it was his lineup yesterday? I almost feel
it felt has like, to be, right?
Now, they didn't get in until 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, he talked about it that they were, like, the team went home in rush hour traffic. So they got in
and drove home
in rush hour traffic.
Except they were driving against traffic.
Yeah, I don't know where these guys are going, but...
But they were in downtown.
Yes.
And so I wonder if they had a police escort from the airport to Minute Maid, where they picked up their cars. Whatever the case may be... They didn't get in until 7 in the morning. Carlos wasn't in the lineup. Yuli, not in the lineup. You know, Diaz has been hitting, so there's, you know, his OPS is 820 right now after an 0-for-4. So Yordan was in there. Brantley was in there. Chaz McCormick is going to be somewhat regular now in center field, so that's fine.
Yeah, we all actually have some audio from Chaz McCormick talking about the guys and stringing some hits together late. Wasn't enough, but here's Chaz McCormick.
Obviously, in the beginning of the game, we started off a little slow, but I think that's because we just, you know, we got home at 7 in the morning this morning. I think we just had, you know, we were very tired this morning. But, yeah, we can bring some momentum into the game tomorrow. And we did start to put better at-bats at the end of the game last night. It was good. We saw a couple bullpen arms, so I think that's going to help us throughout the series.
Yeah, I like Chaz. Chaz's OPS is at 769, which is pretty good. Really, you know, it's good. It's not great, but it's good. And with the limited number of at-bats, one of the hardest things in baseball is to not get regular at-bats and try to go up there against major league pitching. And now today's closers or today's relievers, in a lot of instances, you're facing relievers, especially if you're a pinch hitter late. You know, they're throwing 100. Some guys got wicked stuff at the back of bullpen, so that's awful, especially when you've been sitting all night. So it's not an enviable position what he has done this year has been really eye-opening. You want to know the truth? I've thought they traded Straw because in large part because they have McCormick, and in the other large part is that they needed another bullpen arm in Phil Maton. So they got that, and Chaz McCormick will fill in. And a lot of people, though, surprisingly missed Miles Straw or liked Miles Straw despite that start. I think because he started, you know, hitting more, and by more I mean his OPS was 600 something.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's not exactly a power hitter, but I think the Astros, you know, figured out, hey, this isn't the Adam Everett era anymore. This isn't we're not doing Willie Taveras. We're hitters. We value. Pop along with our average.
Maybe the attachment is that he's a guy who, you know, he had a rough start replacing George Springer, but he became certainly not a run producer or a guy who's going to hit for power, but he became consistent. Now, he's not had a great run since he got traded, but Miles Straw was in what, the high 260s? At his highest, or did he get to 270?
Oh, he got to 270.
Yeah, so when you have that guy in your lineup, at least you know it's not a black hole. I mean, it's Miles. You look at Miles Straw, and then you look at Maldonado and others, and Robel Garcia.
Well,
they know it could get a lot worse than what Miles Straw was here.
You know, Jason Castro caught last night, hit ninth. His OPS is six something. 660, 672, which isn't bad. Like, for example, you had Martin Maldonado at first base. That's a power position. That's a hitting position. He doesn't even have an OPS of 600 this year.
Is that bad?
And then Garcia at short, which is now more of a hitting position than it was in the past, is 400. So that's really bad. This lineup that he put out there last night, honestly, we looked at it and we were like, oh my gosh.
Why is this the spring training B lineup you have out there, Dusty?
Is this a split squad we got going?
We got split squad B out there against a major league ball club.
Wow. And they did nothing from Diaz all the way through to the top of the order at Altuve. One hit on the night for Diaz, Tucker, Maldonado, Garcia, Castro, and Altuve.
You just got to hope McCormick is right and the external factors of getting in late and not being able to, you know, have a normal day have contributed to that and things kind of pick up with a night's rest.
You would think, though, that, you know, without that rest, that they wouldn't play two catchers.
Yeah,
without rest.
What is that?
You would think that they would want to give one of the catchers.
Hey, we've got two really light hitting catchers. Let's put them both in one at first base.
And the most tiring position. Let's put the guy who caught last night and didn't get in. Well, they got to Minute Maid at 7.
Yeah, they didn't get
home until
around, what? 45, whatever. 7:45, 8:00.
8:00 or so. And then get to bed, get to sleep, wake up. Yeah, that was Major League Baseball. Nice job.
Those are what you look. Basketball has schedule losses. Like if you're flying in to Denver from Detroit, you're probably going to lose that game, particularly if Denver had the night off before. This was a schedule loss where unless the starting pitcher from the other team blew up early, you're going to have a problem. Was Fromber traveled, right? He wasn't just waiting here, right? They didn't send him home early, right?
I don't know that, but I'll tell you this. I would have told Greinke, don't even come tonight.
Yeah.
We're not using you for sure. Unless you have something to do the day before the game. He might loosen up late or something. I remember before game 7, Lance McCullers throwing in the outfield at Dodger Stadium. Because he was going to start the next night and for game 7. I don't know what Greinke's routine is, but if he doesn't do much of anything, then I would have just stay home. Take the day off, relax. Maybe you could throw in the backyard with your wife or something. You know, not real hard.
No, unless she's been your personal catcher for years now.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. Or maybe your neighbor.
You think he hey, is that comfortable?
Hey, Joe,
people,
what are you doing?
That Joe comes over and catches for him?
I don't know.
I don't think he has those interactions. You think he's like in the middle of the off season? I mean, it's not really barbecue season in the middle of the off season for baseball, but you think he does that? Just, hey, Joe, you want to come over?
Yeah, and barbecue? I got a couple of steaks.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of weird. It is. Maybe it's a little weird. Maybe it would be a little weird for him to do that. But, I don't know. I don't know because I don't want to get into the mind of a Zach Greinke. All I know is that they better beat Ober tonight, okay? Because you got Pineda and Maeda who've got plenty of major league experience behind them the next 2 days. Don't go on a road trip, your toughest road trip of the season, and then come home and lose to Minnesota. And lose a series to Minnesota. Can you please not do that?
This is your whole play down the competition thing again.
It really is. And look at their Minnesota, Colorado, who's not good, at the Angels, not good, at Kansas City, not good. Seattle is a good team. Kansas City again, bad. Texas at Texas, bad. At Seattle because you play Seattle every other game. At San Diego, that'll be tough. And then San Diego, the Angels, Texas. This is a pretty easy schedule.
Except for the team who makes these games more difficult than they should be.
Yes. And now the last 9 games of the season, at Oakland for 3, Tampa here for 3, Oakland for 3.
I feel good about those.
Listen, if they're fighting, it's good to have good teams in here as opposed to crappy teams because the Astros play much better against good teams. Much better. It's not even close.
And the Tampa series is here, right?
The Tampa series is here.
I feel even better.
And Oakland is here to finish up the season.
Feel great about that.
Yeah.
And so, who knows? The Astros may have a big enough lead where it doesn't matter as far as the Oakland series, but the Tampa series could probably determine home field advantage.
Well, now, though, because it kind of is a big deal, what are they, 3 games behind the Giants now? The Astros are 65-44. 69-4, 4 games behind. They're four games behind the Giants now. It's something to watch because home field advantage for the World Series.
Yeah, which would be great, but obviously the Tampa series, at least my eyes, the way things are going, both with the same record, might be a fight to determine who has that through the AL. Maybe the Giants are so far ahead, since we don't have really any control over playing the Giants late, but you do against the Rays. That'll be a big series.
Absolutely. That'll be a big, big series. All right, 1044 ESPN, 97.5. News of the weird coming your way next. Dell, is there going to be a real Jurassic Park? We'll tell you.
That's a good question,
John. On the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Del, good news. Scientists no longer have to worry about their bottles of mouse sperm breaking in transit. Researchers have developed a way to freeze-dry sperm on a plastic sheet in weighing paper so that samples can withstand being mailed via postcard. This method allows for mouse sperm to be transported easily, inexpensively, and without the risk of glass breaking. So, Jell, if you were worried about transporting mouse sperm, you don't have to anymore.
Those aren't the logistics I'm concerned with. I'm concerned about the logistics of extracting.
Mm-hmm.
Whose job is that? And mm-hmm. how does it work? Like, do you give the mouse mm-hmm. something that gets him in the mood like you would at a
mm-hmm.
at those places when you're trying to test your count? You go in the room and you watch something and in a cup. Is that how it works?
How does
it work for...
I'm not sure the extraction process. I'm really not. We've seen the horse way they did.
That's not great. Not good. So do they knock the mouse out and go into the vas deferens or whatever they're called and mm-hmm. start doing stuff that way? Or does the mouse get some fun out of it?
Mm-hmm.
Either way, that's not a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need more information. No, I don't. I really don't.
Yeah. So there is that. A new study shows that children that are in children in communities with more gun licenses are at greater risk of being exposed to lead. No, duh. So there's that.
Well, sure.
Ooh, a man was arrested after flying his drone into the World Trade Center to make his YouTube pop off. Yeah.
How did that work for him?
Well, arrest. That's how that worked out for him. It just seems like a bad idea.
I would advise against it. Seems like, I understand you're trying to go viral, trying to get people to watch your video. You know, the World Trade Center is a very secure place and a very sensitive subject. Maybe you don't fly things into it.
Yeah. But this is an odd and sad story. Two brothers who were mourning the death of their brother who was struck and killed by a train were both struck and killed by the same train in the same spot.
How far apart?
I don't.
Like days, months?
Apparently, Tuesday morning, they were struck by the train. The brother was struck on July 26th. Yeah, about a week later. They were at the spot, and they were both killed at the same spot.
So did one accidentally get hit, and the other decided, I didn't want to live anymore?
No,
and
or threw they himself? Both got what?
Well, one, I assume, did it, or did they both do it on purpose?
Yeah, I don't think they did it on purpose.
Because you know how, like, when older couples lose one first and the other one dies, mm-hmm. out of heartbreak or whatever you want to call it, I don't know the scientific reason for it, but then they die much much sooner than you might think. Is this what happened? That the brother died and the other one's like, you know what? I don't want to live anymore, so I'm going to throw myself in front of a train. What's the other explanation for that? That they both got hit by the same train.
How'd the brother get hit? Maybe,
well, that could be an he could be.
Maybe they're standing. They don't know where to stand.
Yeah, the first one could be an accident where the brother made a mistake on where he was standing. How does the second one die the same way?
No one knows.
Or maybe there's a serial train murderer. I don't know.
Construction on an Indonesian tourism project dubbed Jurassic Park will continue, the Southeast Asia country's environmental ministry said on Thursday, despite UNESCO's warning that the plans could have a negative environmental impact. Oh, really? Did we not watch the movie?
Look, y'all concerned about, you know, certain things being put in your body. The thought, and that's your opinion, and you're right. The thought of creating a dinosaur park should be freaking everyone out. We've seen enough of this. We've seen it. It goes poorly. Like, we shouldn't be making killer robots because it always goes poorly. Don't make dinosaurs. It goes bad really quickly. I'm out. I love this Jurassic Park series. It's one of the first major blockbusters I ever saw as a kid. And I will watch the new ones as they come out to this day. But I don't want it in real life. I know how that goes.
Yeah. No. Okay. Let's stop with robots and let's stop with the dinosaurs.
You know what we should do? We couldn't contain these dinosaurs on a remote island. Let's put them on a boat and bring them over to the mainland. Because that's a plot in one of the movies. That's a good idea. Hmm. And you know what would happen? It would happen in real life, too. Look, the T-Rex is great on the island, but you know it's a big deal bringing them to New York. What? That's stupid. That's what they did to King Kong. You saw how that worked out, too.
Didn't work out well. Apparently, a woman, her car was seized. Well, the car that she was in was seized. There's a photo of her at an exhibition in San Francisco in which she's hanging out of the Cadillac with an AK-47. Do you think that that's an indication that this person should be arrested?
Why? Because they have an AK-47.
An AK-47 hanging out of a window.
Maybe they're just going
like
for
a dog that's trying to.
That's a joyride.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Are they firing the weapon?
Nah, but you're hanging out the window with it, looking around.
I don't mind it. You're just letting everyone know, don't mess with me.
Hmm.
You got to set a standard.
A man locked up in a Hawaii mental hospital for 2 years. Unfortunately, it wasn't him that was supposed to be in the mental hospital.
That is such a that's a horror and a nightmare for me.
It was mistaken a case identity. Of mistaken identification.
It's one of the things I dream about, and it's a nightmare. Being either locked up in an actual prison or one of those other places where you can't get out, you're not supposed to be there, and no one's listening to you. One of my true
nightmares.
It's
not me.
Yeah.
It's not me. Oh, sure, it's not you.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
that's what everyone says.
Yeah.
And then you sound crazy when you do it, and that just feeds and confirms that you're crazy. Nah, it's a nightmare. Nah.
Did you see the passenger duct tape to the airplane seat?
Yeah, they fired the crew.
They fired too?
Were they only suspended?
I thought that they were.
Maybe you're right.
He was groping and yelling profanities.
Said he was really rich or his family's really rich or something.
So they duct taped him to the chair. And then when they got there, they arrested him, but they also suspended or fired the flight crew.
I think you're right with the initial suspension. But the flight crew was like, well, we don't want him groping us and causing a disturbance. What did you want us to do?
Wouldn't stop either.
Yeah, so if there's no marshal on the plane, what do? You can't you can't really lock someone in the bathroom, right? So I don't know what you do. They did what they could.
They did all. You know what? I thought it was a good plan, especially a douchebag telling how rich his family is.
You crossed the line, sir. All that other stuff we could have accepted.
Yeah, but don't tell us, do you know who I am? Do you know how much money we have? I don't need that.
If you had so much money, take a private jet.
Nope. Monday, we will break down the Astros weekend and a whole lot more. It'll be me and you, I believe.
And Trey.
And we've got an announcement for you as well, Monday morning.
Judging by what you guys reacted to on Thursday. I'm not sure it's going to be received well by everybody.
We'll see. 10:56, yeah. Charlie Polito's next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.